Okay, tonight is Wednesday night, December 6th, or 19th day of the month of Kislev. This is the women's Mishnah or Gemara Shir. We're on Chulin, Daf Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Bet. Okay, Rabotai. So the easiest place is on YU Torah. Moshe Wertenthal uploads this to YU Torah all the time. So you go to YU Torah, look for my picture, and it'll say Maseches Chulin. It'll give you the date. And yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. It's also on the Bergen County, but yeah, also. Yeah.
So you hear all of our comments there?
The comments sometimes are hard to hear because it's softer, but you definitely hear the whole chair. You can't vote, like, every so often.
Okay, Rabotai. The last couple of weeks, we've been focusing on this particular Amud, which handles a variety of issues concerning absorption, transfer of taste. And the last two shiurim, we focused on kavush, whether or not soaking something for 24 hours or perhaps 72 hours, does it transfer taste or not, even though there is no heat? Simply soaking in a liquid for 72 or 24 hours might do the trick. And we also spoke about last time, maliach. When you salt something, does that enhance, facilitate the transfer of taste, once again, in the absence of heat? So today we're going to see a third application of that, and see what might appear to be conflicting sugyot, and see how it might be revolved. So you have it in front of you on page 1. This is the top of Daf Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Bet. Every Gemara that we used as our launching point was on this particular Amud, the last 5 or 6 Shiurim. So the Gemara says, I bracketed on the top, 5 lines from the top. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel. Rav Nachman said in the name of his Rebbe, Shmuel. Sakin sheshochat ba, the knife which you used for shchita, asur lachtoch ba roseach. You are not permitted to cut hot meat with the same knife that was used to slaughter the animal. Tell me why. Okay, why is it not kosher? It's a kosher animal.
Yeah, but it hasn't been kosher. The blood is still.
No, you completed the shechita.
But the meat hasn't been kosher.
There's still. Okay, so I'm not. The meat, even once you complete the shechita, you are allowed to eat this animal, this meat. Of course you're allowed to.
You traced it on the first little cut you made before.
Why did you make a trace?
It wasn't.
You have a kosher animal, and I am the world's greatest shochet. I'm going to shecht this animal properly. So when you take a kosher, by definition, animal, it chews its cud and has split hoofs, and I do a kosher shechita, what results from a kosher shechita? Kosher piece of meat. So after I shechted the animal, I wanted to use this knife either to cut up this piece of meat, this animal, into small little pieces, or another piece of meat. I want to cut a piece of roast beef.
Because when you started using the knife, it wasn't kosher anymore.
Why isn't that? What wasn't kosher?
The animal wasn't kosher.
Wasn't trafe. It wasn't the veil. But that doesn't mean that the animal is prohibited. It's only prohibited. Why is an animal that is kosher not permitted to be eaten? Aver Minachai. But once I shecht it, is it Aver Minachai any longer? No. Now there are only two other concerns. That the animal is trafied, has a punctured lung, it has something wrong with the kidney, with the liver, or Or I disqualified the shechita. I didn't do the shechita properly. If I don't do the shechita properly, what is the animal called? Nevela. If it has a punctured lung or that, it's a trefa. But none of that happened. The lung is perfectly smooth. There are no punctured limbs or organs. Everything is fine. The shechita was done mehudar. Mehudar shechita. So the animal is a kosher animal.
So the blood makes no difference.
Okay, so that's what we're going to discuss.
Because if I've ever
good. So hold on a second. I now have this meat, this knife rather, with some blood on it. There is no doubt about it. But has the tam of the blood been absorbed into the walls of the knife? Or am I only concerned about the blood that appears on the surface of the knife? What will determine A or B? A, that it was hot, and the blood was absorbed into the knife. Hence, with a subsequent use onto something hot, the taste of that blood will be purged into my food product. Or B, that I'm not worried about absorbed blood into the knife. What type of blood am I worried about? Surface blood. That when the animal starts bleeding, which it undoubtedly will, there's going to be a residue of blood on the knife. But how do you clean that? Wash it off or rub it off with a water shmata. Then if you cut the meat, what should happen to the meat? Should there be a problem with it? No. Well, that's what we're going to discuss. So the Gemara says, now I'm going to reread the first line. Sakin sheshochatba, if I took the knife and I slaughtered my animal and there was nothing wrong with the shechita, perfect shechita. Asur lachtoch bar tzonein. Roseach rather. You are not permitted to cut hot meat with this knife. Hot meat. So if the Gemara says that I can't cut hot meat, what is running through your mind? Why only hot meat? No good. Because if something was absorbed, the subsequent heat of the next piece of meat will extract it into it. So you have to assume that for some reason, when you shecht, it comes in contact with heat automatically. It comes in contact with heat so that the blood, I will not only have to worry about the surface area of the knife, but somehow the taste of the blood was absorbed into this knife. Where in the world am I dealing with heat? I'm shechting the animal outside.
But it's not that.
Okay.
It's
okay. Friction. Okay. It might be friction. Okay. So, okay. Do you understand the issue at hand? Good. So now we're going to see how the Gemara handles this. How the Gemara handles this. So, take a look at Rashi. That's the first source you're supposed to look at. If you have a trouble understanding the principle, you look at Rashi. That's what Rashi's here for. It's on the left-hand side of the page. I bracketed Rashi on this caption, Sakin Sheshochatba, says Rashi. Aidi debet hashchita roseach. The area where the shchita takes place is by definition hot. Hot. The trachea and the esophagus have sufficient heat in it so that when my knife goes across this trachea and the esophagus, the blood that will be accumulating on this knife as a result of the fact that the animal is dying by cutting its trachea and esophagus, under those circumstances, the heat of the Beit Hashchita, the area in the neck where you slaughter, is hot. It absorbs, says Rashi, Boleya Hasakin Min Hadam. The knife absorbs the blood from as a result. The asur lachtoch bar roseach, and you are now prohibited from cutting meat, which is hot, or anything that is hot, with this knife. Why? Mitnei shechozer upolate bo. Because it will now, with the subsequent application of heat, what will happen? It will be purged from the knife and resting in the item that you are cutting. That type of blood is prohibited blood. Why is this prohibited blood? Because it left its natural cavity. Right? That's why it's on your knife. If it was still retained in the normal cavity of the animal, you're allowed to eat that blood. But blood that was purged from the animal as a result of the shechita, the chidush of Rav Nachman, the name of Shmuel, is that the trachea and the esophagus are sufficiently hot, that what now happens? That the knife will absorb. It's not the friction that is generated. Because even though friction will generate heat, every Tom, Dick, Harry, and Sam knows that, but friction heat is not hot enough to absorb something. If you, you know, cut something, it'll feel a little warm. You're not going to burn your finger by touching it. Here the Gemara, Rashi said that the Beit HaShechita is not Cham, but what is the Beit HaShechita? Roseach. Nazer Risicha, boiling hot.
Boiling hot. There's rules what's considered hot, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, we know that area is not that hot.
Okay, that's why they're going to, people we'll see later, we're going to disagree with Shmuel in the neighbor of Nachman. But first we're going to try to understand what he says before we see what someone else says. So Shmuel believes that the heat generated in the Shechita area, the Shechita zone, is sufficiently hot to impart the blood into the knife. It might be that you need a combination of both in order to generate sufficient heat. In other words, if I have a spoon which I place inside, after I cut it open, I took a spoon because my cat likes blood, and I took a spoon inside the trachea and it touched the walls of the trachea and had some blood on it. No one is ever going to say that that blood is going to what? Be absorbed in what? In the spoon. It might be a combination of what is called duchka, dochek, mazet dochak, the force of the knife, duchka de sakina, the pressure that is generated by what? By going back and forth when you cut, plus the heat of the area called the Beit HaShechita, the esophagus and the trachea. That combination might be sufficiently hot and powerful enough to enable absorption into the knife. Therefore, if I now take a piece of hot meat and I want to cut it, I cannot do so until I do something to the knife. We'll see what the something is in a couple of minutes. Just want to read the Gemara again. Another two lines of the Gemara. Then I'll take your questions. Tzonan, what happens if you wanted to cut cold meat? Cold meat. You have a piece of cooked roast meat, but it's in the refrigerator, and you want to cut it. So, now when you have something that is cold, you operate on the assumption that what can that cold meat not do? It cannot extract the taste of the blood that is absorbed in the, because we have always operated with a principle. We might one day challenge it to some extent, but what principle have I tried to bash into your head since we started learning Chulin? That no transfer of taste is possible without the medium of heat. And I always tell you the same illustration that always shocks you every time I mention it. Your refrigerator, your freezer melts, and the ice cream drips on a piece of meat in your refrigerator. All you have to do is wash it off and you're allowed to eat the meat. Nothing became, can become absorbed in the refrigerator. Nothing. So even though it's in a pot of ice cream, melted ice cream, unless it sits there for 24 hours. Then we have last week's show, kavush. But if it doesn't sit there for 24 hours, there's nothing to worry about. Just wash it off, eat the meat. So if it's tzonein, amri la, some say, baya hadacha. Baya hadacha. That something needs to be washed off. Lahadech means to be washed off. What is the subject of the word baya? What has to be washed off? Good guess. That's what some Rishonim say. It's not what Rashi says. Rashi says it's talking about the meat. The meat has to be washed off.
After you use the knife on it?
Yes. After you cut the meat, with the knife that you initially shefted the animal, you have to wash off the meat.
But the knife wasn't clean.
Did I say anything about that it was clean? You went straight from the shechita to what? Cutting cold meat. Tell me why you might have to rinse it off. Why should I rinse off the meat?
Because
the surface blood is now going to be sitting what?
On top
of the meat. Surface blood doesn't need heat in order to transfer. What does surface blood need? Contact. Contact. If you have a knife with blood on it and you touch a cold piece of meat, trust me, some of the blood that is on the surface of the knife is going to be transferred to the meat. So Amri La, there are those who say, Baya Hadacha, that after you cut the meat, you have to wash it off with cold water. The Amri La and others say, Lo Baya Hadacha. You don't have to even wash it off. No explanation offered why you should not have to wash it off. None. Explanation is logical why you do have to wash it off. Because Rashi says, let's take a look at the Rashi right now. Take a look at the Rashi. The Rashi is the caption, tzonein, which I just left off with. It's the next word, tzonein. Im chatach ba tzonein. If I cut cold meat with this knife, ba'i hadacha. What requires washing? Hahu tzonan. That cold piece of meat has to be washed off. And Rashi didn't tell me why, but I can figure it out myself. Namely, as I just said, the residue surface blood on the knife will be transferred to the meat. And I don't want to have prohibited blood on my meat. So what do? You wash off the piece of meat. End of discussion.
Well, maybe one person is assuming the knife was clean and one person is assuming the knife was not clean.
But that's not the case.
That's why you have the two opinions.
That's not the case. The case, the headline of this Gemara is Sakin Sheshachat Babasa. That's what we're talking about. If you have a clean knife, what's there to worry about? Why do I have to wash a piece of meat after I cut it with a clean knife? There ain't no reason. Yes.
You said that we're not sure what the subject of
Baya Hadacha. Correct. Rashi says it's the meat.
But there are those who say...
I'm not ready for that yet. Okay? You gotta do Pamelach. I'm so gedult. That's all. Because otherwise everybody get crazy here. So we're focusing on Shitas Rashi. And Rashi said, what requires the washing? The tzonein. Im chatach batzonein ba'i hadacha hahu tzonan. That cold piece of meat has to be washed off. I wish Rashi would have added one more caption for lo ba'i hadacha to explain to me, Rashi, why doesn't it have to be washed off according to the second opinion. I can't figure it out. because we're not just talking about a plain old cold knife. We're talking about a knife that was used for shechita. And that's a pretty sharp knife. Shechita knives are very, very sharp. They make good cutting knives. And normally shochtim don't allow you to use them because they're afraid that it's going to hit a bone or something and get a little nick and disqualify it. So shochtim are more protective of their knives than chefs are. Chef never leaves his knives in the kitchen, brings them home all the time, doesn't let anybody touch them, because they can't be damaged. So to a shochet, he doesn't allow anybody to touch it. Right. And they check their knives on their nail and on their tongue. That's how shochtim check. That's why no shochet talks. They're all silent. Because they check the thing on the knife, and then they cut their neck, their tongue off. Yes. Yes. Good. That's Rashi. That's Rashi. Okay? Everybody have it? Good. Turn now to page number 2. Turn to page number 2. And on the bottom of the page, we are going to read the Ran. The Gemara, which you see in the middle of the Gemara, in that page number 2, that is the Rif. The Rif, he was a Moroccan Sephardic scholar from the city of Fez. That's why he was called the Rif, Rabbi Yitzchak from Fez. And that's how he made a living, with Fez candy. He was the one who created that little dispenser. And that's the real reason why he was called Rabbi Yitzchak of Fez. That's the real reason. So he paskined the halacha simply by quoting the relevant Gemara pieces. The Rif is a code. But instead of writing a code in his own lingo, he just selected a phrase of the Gemara that he believed represented the codification of the halacha. And then some printer took Rashi on the Gemara and printed it next to the Rif. Rashi never wrote a Perush on the Rif. Mm-hmm. But some printer said, I'm going to make things a little easier. That if you want to study the Rif, you'll have the assistance of Rashi's commentary on the Gemara. The problem is that the manuscript which this guy used is not the same manuscript that the editor of the Talmud used for Perush Rashi. Rashi apparently... He tells us that he rewrote his pamphlet three times. Three times. Rashi wrote pamphlets. And he rewrote them three times. So it is possible that the person who selected to write, to include Rashi's commentary on the Rif, picked up a different number manuscript than the guy who printed it. And sometimes there are blatant disagreements. And it's possible that Rashi changed his mind. It happens. After years, you look at things a little differently, and you change your mind. Right? Like the Rambam. The Rambam wrote a commentary on the Mishnah, and hundreds of times he writes the halakha one way. Then you look in his great work, Mishneh Torah, and you see, it's exactly the opposite of what he wrote when he was 18 years old in his commentary on the Mishnah. Fine. So now the Ran comments on the Rif. Look at the Ran I bracketed about 10, 15 lines from the bottom. Sakin sheshochad ba asur lachtoch ba roseach. Basor roseach. If the meat, the knife that you use to slaughter, you cannot cut hot meat. Tzonein amri la bai hadacha. If you wanted to cut cold meat, some authorities require you to wash off. Kosav Rashi, Zal, im chatach batzonan bai hadacha, hahu tzonan. What requires to be washed off? That meat. That meat. That's what we said. We saw it inside. That's what Rashi did say. Asks the Ran, Utmihani, I am perplexed, puzzled. I am perplexed, puzzled. Ma hizkiko l'rashi zal lidchok lifaresh debai hadacha atzonan kai. What compelled, forced Rashi's hand to interpret that the tzonan which we are referring to is what? Is the meat. What other possibility might the word tzonan refer to? The knife. The knife is cold. Maybe it refers that you have to wash off the knife before what do you do? Before cutting the cold meat. Wash off the knife. Not after you cut the meat, then you worry about washing off the blood. Take the precaution. Wash off the knife before you cut the cold meat. What compelled Rashi? Lidchok ulefaresh debayadach atzonan. Velama lo piresh dekoi asakin. Why didn't Rashi explain that the word sonan was not a reference to cold meat, but to cold knife? And I would understand it perfectly. It just had surface blood on it. So before you transfer that blood to anything else, whether I cut a green pepper, a tomato, or a piece of meat, I don't want blood on it. What is the easiest way to take care of it? Just wash off the knife. Very simple. We all would do that. Whatever you used a knife previously for, before you cut something else, everybody, you know that better than I, then what do? You wash your knife off, of course. Yes?
So, when you told him, like, you once described this, how they do the shkita on chicken, like one after the other.
Yes.
So, in theory then, they have to wash the knife in between because the surface blood from the first animal is now on the second animal.
Good. Excellent. So they do. They don't wash it, but they have what they have, they're right sitting there, a shmata. A very good shmata. They wipe it clean, pass, check it, and then pass it to the next guy.
But wiping doesn't take care of that problem.
Yes, it does. Wipes take care of the surface blood.
Right. But I thought your question was, if we start out by saying that the blood gets absorbed.
Good. Excellent. So you're asking me a very good question. How, I'm not ready to discuss that yet, how to use one knife to chef multiple animals. So some will say, based on what we learned until now, that you can't. What do you have to do to the shochet's knife before you use it a second time? Not just wash it off. Kasher it. Correct. We're going to see. Some Rishonim will say that. And that you can't work on an assembly line like Empire Chickens. You got to do things slowly. You shacht it, you want to use that knife, got to kasher it. Correct. Pouring either putting it into a pot of boiling hot water, or at least pouring boiling water on all of the surfaces. We will see. This sugi is far from over, otherwise the share would be over already. Yeah?
You wouldn't have to wait 24 hours
for? Absolutely not. It's a good question. Because the requirement of waiting 24 hours is a chumrah, which our wonderful posek, the Ramah, says you should do. Never kasher anything until it is 24 hours. Because you have an added advantage. Anything that will be purged will already be lifgam. Right? Ruining taste being purged. So the Ramah would rely on that. But lichatchila, you're supposed to do so. No lichatchila. But let's assume from the perspective of the real halakha, like Karo, you don't have to do that. You can kasha something as soon as it absorbs something prohibited. And if they had to do so in a slaughterhouse where they're making money, they would certainly find a way to be making them. Certainly be making them. Now, let's continue for a second. Now, another advantage which the Ran says that ba'i hadacha would be better suited to describe the knife than what?
The meat.
Why? Because ba'aya is Lashon Nikeva. What is the Aramaic of requiring with the Shoresh Bet Ayin Yud? Bet Ayin Yud. Ba'i. Ba'i. That means it requires. The Gemara says Ba'aya Hadacha or Lo Ba'aya. A Sakin is Nikeva. Lashon Nikeva. Basar is Lashon Zachar. So you're using a grammatically incorrect word to describe the requiring to wash. You should have said if it means the meat, not ba'aya hadacha, but what should have said? Ba'i hadacha. Okay, it's not the most compelling question in the world.
Next time I said, you said we don't do that.
Because we don't.
Sometimes we do.
Right. So, right, I know. But Amoraim were not exactly the greatest known Balei Diktuk on the planet. It's not a science, at least not for us. And we're even less familiar because we don't really speak Aramaic. So some of the, you know, the words, we just know what they mean because we look up in Jastrow or something, or it's an art scroll. But we're not familiar with Aramaic diktuk. But anyhow, that's what he asks. So he's going to tell us what compelled Rashi not to take the easy route out. Vinirali, it appears to me, Shehiskiku lefaresh kain midepaskinon leel beperikama. Because of something that the Gemara said in the first parak. Okay, I'm not going to give it away. We're going to learn it. The couple of lines in the first parak. And see what the Ran saw there. So please go to page number 3 in the first paragraph. We have to read a couple of lines. And your challenge, your mission, should you accept, is to identify the inconsistency between this Gemara, which is Daf Chet Amud Bet in Chulin, and the Gemara on Kuf Yud Aleph Amud Bet. That is the style of learning introduced by all of the Balei HaTosfot and most of the Parshanim, the Rishonim. That's what they do all day. Reconcile differences between two sugyot. And this is a major difference. So I bracketed, it's on the top of the page of Chet Amud Bet. It's a very big sugyot. Itmar, we have learned. Hashochek besakin shel ovdei kochavim. I have a knife that was used in the service of pagan worship. Pagan worship. What did I do? I took a knife. I bought a knife in Goodman's, Olav Hashalom. Right? Used to be this big hardware store on Palisade Avenue where Nobo was good, where Nobo is now, but there used to be huge on that whole building. It was a big, the whole space, and that guy on the counter knew exactly where every little bolt was in that store.
Yes.
So, fine. So I bought a knife there, and I slaughtered an animal for Avodah Zarah to a getchkin. A getchke. Very nice. Now I want to use this knife to cut my meat and shecht my animal. What status does a knife attain when it is used l'avodah zarah? It is asur b'hana'ah. Asur b'hana'ah. So I don't care about the isur hana'ah. But if I slaughtered an animal l'avodah zarah, what taste is now imbued inside the knife? Avodah Zarah taste. Taste of an animal that was offered l'avodah Zarah. Are you allowed to eat the meat that was slaughtered l'avodah Zarah? Of course not. Well, if the taste of that knife was imbued somewhere in that knife, next time I use that knife for my kosher meat, what's it going to impart? It's going to impart the taste of the non-kosher animal. It's a kosher animal, but it's a prohibited animal by virtue of the fact that it was slaughtered l'avodah zara.
So heat doesn't enter in here at all.
We don't know. We will see. Hashochet besakin shel ovdei kachavin. Okay? So based on the Gemara which we just learned 15 minutes ago, what would you say you, and now what did you do? If you cut the meat, cut hot meat, what happens? Are you allowed to eat that meat?
No.
Says Rav Amar, Kolef, Klipa. Maze Klipa? The shell. Just take another knife and get, sorry, cut off a very thin layer of the meat where the meat came, where the knife came in contact with it. Just kolef. Now that means what did not happen to this meat? What did not happen to the meat? The taste lodged in the knife did not absorb completely into this knife or into the meat. It did not, because if it absorbed completely into the meat, what would not be sufficient?
Take
just the outer layer.
But hold,
just one more second. Rabba Bar Bar Chana Omar Madiach. Rabba Bar Chana says, just wash it off. Just wash it off. Just wash off the meat which you cut. Now, tell me why the Ran told us to look at this Gemara. What assumption does this Gemara make by citing this machloikis between Rav and Rabba? What assumption that the Gemara makes? That it's that's correct. At best, it's just what? Surface thing. So if it's just surface, what would you hold is the status of the area of the trachea and the esophagus? Is it hot or cold?
Cold.
It's cold.
Wait. Maybe when you kill an animal for a you don't cut it at the trachea.
You did. Because it said hashochet. That's the case.
Okay?
The animal was kosher?
The animal was a perfectly kosher. The problem with it is... Of course there is.
Did you say the tom of avodah zarah? What does that mean?
No. The tom of the meat, which is now labeled as avodah zarah. You are not allowed to eat meat that was used in the context of idolatrous services. It is prohibited meat. It's like a piece of nevela meat. It's prohibited.
But maybe the reason why it's only the surface is because it's symbolical. It's different, though. It's not like any...
And the veil is not symbolic.
Yeah, something is actually wrong. I mean,
what's wrong with the veil? I just did it. No, that's a trefa. On the veil is I just did a lousy shechita. I didn't follow the rule.
So that's also like a physical kind of...
It's not a physical. I'm gonna argue with you and just give you the simplest halacha which renders an animal a nevela.
No,
you did it too slowly.
Right.
But when it's wait. Too slowly. So what physical impropriety did I do with this animal? Nothing.
The difference is that it's in the act of shechita.
So what?
This is a symbolic of
It's not symbolic. It's an avodah zarah. And avodah zarah becomes a davar ha'asur lanu. It's like the wine, exactly. If I pour wine, la avodah zarah, it becomes yayin nesach. Are you allowed to drink it? No, you're not allowed to have hanah from it. So if you use that wine to cook in, what's going to happen to the pot? It's going to absorb the taste of the wine. That's what's going to happen to it. Even though nothing impure about it, nothing unkosher about it, other than the fact that it was used by the Zara. So, let's take a look at the Gemara, how the Gemara explains the Machloket. Lema, let us suggest, Bahaka Miflagi. that this is the machlokes between Rav and Rabba Bar Chana. Demar Savar Beit Hashkita Tzonein. Rabba is of the opinion that the area where you slaughter the animal in the trachea and the esophagus, it's absolutely cold. If it's absolutely cold, can there be any absorption to the shechita knife?
No.
No.
Does cold mean just not burning hot? Not yeah. Like where you pull your hand away. That's
yeah, but it actually says cold means there's no heat whatsoever. There's no heat. Therefore, all I have to worry about is potential what? Surface area on the knife. There would be some residue fat or some residue meat of Avodah Zarah. So if I'm going to cut my piece of meat, what's going to happen? That residue meat is going to wind up on my kosher steak or my kosher chicken. And I don't want that. So what does Rabba Bar Chana tell us to do? Just wash it off, that's all. Wash what off? The knife. Just wash off the knife. Then you can cut it and no problem. Rav, who said that you have to be koleif, where you have to slice a thin piece of the meat off, it's called kidei klipa, that's it's going to use in Shulchan Aruch, klipa, holds that apparently the knife does absorb something, but how much can it impart? Not to the whole piece of meat, it's just a little hot, so it absorbed a little, and how much into the meat has been absorbed, just the outermost layer.
That's like a left field thing, everything we've learned. Like, there's not the idea that if it's the tom, it goes into the whole thing.
Good, but that's just it. This Gemara, both of them are of the opinion that the heat in the trachea is not real heat. It's just, like you said, it's just a little warmer.
It's warm, it's like the temperature 98.7.
So I can't necessarily transfer taste into the knife completely. But some residue time will be purged onto this meat when I cut it. And therefore, how far into the roast did the residue time extend? Only until the outermost layer. Not permeated throughout the entire roast. That's nothing like we said in our Gemara. Nothing. So the Ran has sent us to this Gemara because he knows everybody's going to have a problem now. How do we jive the two sugyot? Now it is possible that they can never jive and they are just what? Sugyot. Chalukot, they're arguing about the status of the level of heat that exists in the Beit HaShchita. So far there would be three possibilities. One possibility, which we saw on Daf Kuf Yud Aleph, that it's real hot, and therefore you have to be concerned about what? The knife spreading its taste into the entire piece of meat that you're cutting. Therefore, you're not allowed to cut the meat until you will kasher the knife. That's one possibility. Possibility number two is that it has no heat whatsoever. It's tzonein, it's cold. Therefore, nothing has been absorbed onto the knife other than surface area. Nothing has been absorbed. And then there is a third compromise opinion. Nishtahi, nishtaher. It's just a little transfer of taste into the surface. Hence, you cut away the surface, chuck it, and the rest of the meat is perfectly okay. Good. That's what the Gemara says here. So the Gemara thinks that's the kernel of the debate. That one believes that it's hot, but it's the compromise heat. And the other one says what? It's nothing. So therefore, one opinion says you have to slice away the outer limit. And one of them says just wash it off. But the Gemara is not happy about resolving the machlokes that way.
When you said wash it off, you were talking about the knife?
No, the meat.
Always
the meat. Because from our Gemara, we learned that the only way to use the knife without having to do anything to meat is to kasher the meat, the knife first. Kasher the knife first. So the Gemara says, lo, That's not the kernel of the debate between Rabba and Rav. That's not the kernel of the debate. Loi, the Kuli Alma Beit Hashchita Roseach. Everybody holds that what? That the area, the region of Shchita, the esophagus and the trachea, is halachically hot. Samand Omar Kolev Shapir. The one who says you have to just cut the thin layer of the surface off, that I understand. Umar Savar, the other one who says, Amanda Omar Madiach, he says, Aidi Detridi Simonim La'afluke Dam Lo Bali. What are the trachea and the esophagus doing when you shecht an animal? They're purging blood. When they purge blood, they cannot enable something else to do what?
Absorb.
To absorb. Even though it's hot. Because I don't understand it, because I'm not an animal, nor a vet. The trachea can only do one thing at a time. Either purge blood, or help absorb blood. But it can't. The heat of the trachea can't do two things at once. It can either expel or absorb. So since the animal is going to be gushing blood, until what happens? Until it dies. Until it dies. You don't have to worry about the knife absorbing anything. Because the heat of the Beit HaShchita is so occupied with purging blood, that heat is insufficient to do what? To have the knife, as a result of that heat, absorb the blood. It can't.
Purging blood out of the mouth?
No. Purges the blood out of the trachea and the esophagus.
Into what?
Into all over the place. But what? Onto the knife, onto the floor, onto your hands. But it's not available to transfer, to use its heat to transfer the blood taste into what? Into the knife. Therefore, was any blood absorbed by this knife? According to Rav? No. So therefore, and I now cut this piece of meat. What do I have to do? Just wash it off. That's what he holds. So the Gemara initially thought that the kernel of the debate was whether the inside of the esophageal trachea, is it hot or cold? That's the kernel of the debate, leading them to their opinion that you should either slice off a piece or just wash it off. Then the Gemara says, no, that's not the kernel of the debate. The kernel of everyone agrees that there is sufficient heat in that area to theoretically absorb. But it can't do two things at once. The heat of the trachea or the esophagus cannot promote absorption if at that moment it is preoccupied with what? Purging its blood. Can't do two things. Why? I don't know.
Did you ever watch a shrieks
then? What?
Did you ever see a shrieks?
Not of an animal.
Okay.
Only a chicken.
Kind of vegetarian from there. Yeah. Wouldn't you think, like when you're doing
the shvita,
so the heart is still pumping at first? So it's forceful. That's why it's purging. Yes. But that's creating that, all things would be more heated than when it's
okay,
not.
But it,
so you have the combination of the blood coming fast and creating heat because it's coming so fast.
But once it's purging, thing. It's not an, it can't do two things.
But what do you mean? In other words, it's purging, but it's purging onto the knife.
I know. So the heat of the trachea has to be available to do what? To enable the knife to absorb. But the heat of the trachea is preoccupied purging the blood from it. I can't explain why. You need a marine biologist to figure this out. I can't figure it out. What is that? No, this is a scientific statement, of course. This is what he holds is happening. Why isn't the meat capable of transferring the taste of the blood into the knife because it's preoccupied doing something else. That's one way of explaining the machlokas. That's irrelevant now. No. Yes. So Rav and Rabba are debating whether you have to slice a thin layer or just wash it.
Right, but the idea of purging versus washing.
The Gemara. The Gemara is suggesting to understand what is the kernel of the debate between the two of them. Why did one say washing the meat is sufficient? The other one says you have to slice away a thin layer of meat and toss it in order to eat the rest of the meat. Now the Gemara is going to propose just the opposite. That you know what? Maybe the debate between Rav and Rabba Bar Chana is just the opposite. Everybody believes that the trachea and the esophagus are cold. Everybody believes they're cold. So if it's cold, what has not happened? No absorption. Therefore, what do you do with the meat? Just wash it off. So who's the question on now? Why does one opinion say you have to slice, says the Gemara, because of the pressure of cutting. That generates enough heat for the knife to absorb something, and therefore when you subsequently cut the meat, what will happen to that blood inside the knife? It will be purged and transferred to the outermost level of the meat. Therefore, in order to eat the meat, you have to cut a slice of meat off. So the Gemara offers two possibilities of how to understand the machloikis between Rabba and Rav. Neither Rabba nor Rav agree with our Gemara. Our Gemara said that the heat of the Beit HaShchita, the trachea, is hot enough to do what? With the knife. To absorb full absorption of the blood, and then to do what? Transfer that absorption to what? Fully into the meat. Fully. And you will not be able to eat the meat under any circumstances could it has fully absorbed blood. Neither opinion on Daf Yud Aleph, on Daf Ches Amud Beis agrees with that. Neither opinion.
The cutting away makes so much more sense.
What? Okay. So now, we're going to read the Shulchan Aruch and see how the Shulchan Aruch paskins on these three issues, on these three possibilities. Let's see how the Shulchan Aruch paskins. What? No, we've done this three consecutive weeks now. Look at the Shulchan Aruch. Because here you got to. Okay. So, look first at page 4, and then we'll go right to page 5, and then to page 6. It's marked page 4. The machine flipped it around without telling me. I never make mistakes. The machine had to switch it. Why would I put number 4 before number 5? After number 5? I would never do something like that. Right? Yes. Good. Says Caro in Siman Yud, you can see all the way on the top of the page, Yoredeya Yud, this is Siman Yud in Hilchos Shechita, Seif Beis is what I bracketed. Sakin Sheshochat Bo, Sheira, a sakin which I did what to it? I slaughtered a kosher animal. It wasn't Avodah Zarah. It wasn't Trefa. It wasn't Nevela. Afal Pi. Now page 5. Shehu Miluchlach Bedam. Even though it's filled with blood. Mutar Lishchot Bo Pamaferes. You're allowed to shecht another animal with this knife. Aval asur lachtoch bo roseach, but I cannot cut a hot piece of meat with this knife. Umutar lachtoch botzonan. And you're allowed to cut a cold piece of meat with this knife. Al yidei hadacha shiyadichenu tchila. As long as, what did you do with the knife before? You washed the knife off first.
Between the
shechita,
you don't have to wipe it off.
Yes, you do. No, you don't.
No.
You don't.
No.
Between the shechita, didn't say that. No. Only if you want to cut
a piece of meat.
Good.
Specifically, you don't.
Good. Good. So let's analyze this one halacha at a time. I have my shechita knife. I shechted behemala number one. Says Taro, I can shecht behema number two with it right away. Tell me why. What obviously does he believe
is
the? It's not hot at all. It's not hot at all. If it would be hot, what would have happened to the knife? It would have absorbed blood. Now that you put it in the second animal's trachea or something, which is also hot, what would have happened? The blood would have been purged from the knife and absorbed in the trachea of the second animal. Says Caro, that doesn't happen. You know why? Because the trachea and the esophagus are cold. Therefore, hold on a second. Therefore, I am not worried about any blood that was absorbed in the knife. What about a knife? What about the blood that was on the surface of the knife? I don't have to worry about that either. Tell me why. Because when you shech the animal, the next animal, what's going to start happening with the second animal? Its blood is what? Going to come gushing. And what is it going to do? It's going to wash off the first blood. Therefore, I don't have to do anything. I don't have to do anything. On the floor then. And then, now, after I finish shechita, now I have a question to ask. I'm finished for the shechita for the day. Now I want to know, can I use my knife for what? For
piece of meat.
So now Caro says, I'll tell you. If the meat's hot, absolutely not. If it's cold, wash it off. Wash it off. So when Caro saw the two Gemaras that we learned tonight, which one did he think is the real halacha? The first Gemara on Kuf Yud Aleph or the Gemara on Kuf Ches? On Daf Ches Amud Beis? Which is the real sugya? Which is the real halacha? The second Gemara. This business on Daf Kuf Yud Aleph about the Beit HaShechita being hot, that's nonsense.
Then why is he saying you can't? If you washed it off. Oh, he only said if you didn't wash it off?
Did he say anything about washing it off? He says if you go directly, you cannot cut hot meat. Because what's going to happen with the heat of the meat? What is it going to do with the blood that's on the surface of the knife? It's going to absorb it. Once it absorbs it, you're never going to be able to eat it. So Caro says, never, never cut hot meat with this knife. Never cut hot meat.
Well, why not? If you wash the knife...
Okay. You probably could have. If you cleaned the knife, you probably could have. But...
Why probably?
Probably could have. Because he didn't say it. So the commentaries are going to ask your question. Why did he only say that to cut cold meat, all I have to do is to wash it? It should have been enough to wash off the knife first and then even use hot meat because there is no absorption. So they are troubled by that statement. Why didn't Caro clarify?
When Caro codifies, does he explain why he picks certain ones over another?
Yeah, usually, does Caro explain to us why he picks certain Gemaras? Yeah, because the Rambam and the Rif and the Rush, who are his three guides, two out of three said that the halacha is like this. That's correct. He never, or rarely, if ever, makes a decision on his own. Caro rarely made a decision on his own. He just follows three authorities, Rambam, Rif, and Rush. Since Rambam and Rif was Sephardic and Rush was Ashkenazic, most of the time it's the Rambam and the Rif against the Rush, which suited Caro fine and dandy because he was a Sephardi Jew. He was a Sephardi. So that's why it suited him fine. That's why he picked those three. Quite conveniently for him.
Rabbi,
yes.
If you're saying that the blood of the second one washes off the blood of the first one, then when we're doing shchita from chicken to chicken, he shouldn't have to wipe off his knife on anything.
Good. Correct. In theory, he should not have to. Correct. We'll see.
Any chickens from Russia?
Yeah, maybe chickens are just the blood.
Now, as you correctly pointed out, Caro does not say what you should do in order to cut hot meat. He just says, don't cut hot meat. So now the last two lines of this page, where we're up to, is the Rama. And the Rama says, okay, you want to cut hot meat? Kasher the knife. Which is very, very difficult. Why should I have to kasher the knife? After all, if there is no heat associated with what? With the area, with the Beis HaShechita, what was absorbed in the knife? But look at Caro. Right underneath, the little Rashi letters. The Rashi letters. Right underneath it. Hagah. This is Caro. This is the Ramah, rather. The Ramah. V'im rotze lehag ilo le'echol boroseach. If he would like to kasher it in order to cut hot meat, sagile the hagola al yudei irui. You don't have to look for a pot, boil up hot water, and throw the knife into the pot. All it needs al yudei irui. Irui means to pour. Just pour hot water on the knife. Correct. Afal pi she'eino mikli rishon. It doesn't even have to be from a pot that was cooked directly on the fire. So I can go over to my urn. That's the kli rishon. Pour into a cup, kli sheni. And pour from a kli sheni onto the knife. Now I can cook hot water with. Now I can cut hot meat with it. I don't. Kashering light. Yes. So.
So that's a new process?
No. So what's he really telling me?
It's really okay.
That it didn't. Exactly. He's telling us, you know what? I don't want to argue with Caro to such an extent. Caro told me that I can't cut hot meat. I don't really understand why you can't cut hot meat. But he said you can't. So I know, using my own little brain, that the only way in which Caro would have allowed you to use that knife for hot meat is if I kasher it. But I can't understand why you have to kasher it. So I'm going to allow for a mock kashering. It's not really kashering, but it looks like kashering because it's hot water. But it's not the real way of kasher, because you can't kasher by pouring from something of a kli sheni onto it. It has to be pouring from a kli rishon.
Doesn't it have to be immersed? Not even pouring.
Doesn't it have to be immersed? Yes. But what happens if you have a pot that's too big to put into a pot that's 60 times? So, yeah. No, but the principle of kashering is that there is 60 times against it. So when I take one fork or one spoon and I boil up a pot of hot water, any purging of taste is batel in the 60 times the water. But if the whole pot is what? Absorbed non-kosher, I need a pot that contains 60 times the volume of this pot. That's very difficult to find. So you just take a kettle, you boil hot water, and you pour from the kettle on the entire surface area of that pot. That's all you do.
Like you do for a sink.
Like you kosher a sink for Pesach, exactly. And of course, stainless steel sink.
Yes.
Can't kosher a porcelain sink. Right. That's what he says. Normally you're supposed to have 60 times to pack against the prohibited item. That's why we throw into a pot.
Right, but we do pay some of the same. Some people bring really big pots. I don't know what it is.
But the pots that...
They're huge.
Hopefully. Okay, so if it's not going to be 60... Okay, but does it get... so it's not any... It's not any worse than just pouring boiling hot water on it. So b'di'evet, it's okay. Yes, b'di'evet, it's okay. No, I didn't say that. Just kosher something piecemeal. If you want to kosher a set of silverware, just throw them in one at a time. That's it.
In a big pot.
Any big pot is going to be 60 times one piece of silverware. Any big pot. So you throw it in, good, next one. That's all.
You have to take out the one before?
No, because it's kashered already. It's fine. It's not a problem. So here we have an illustration where the Ramah sensed the difficulty of Paro. He sensed the difficulty, but what? But he didn't want to override him. Because, yeah, that's all. This is what happened here. That's what happened here. Yes, sometimes he's being nice. Now go to page number 6. Page number 6. Sakin sheshachat botrefa. If you slaughtered an animal and it turned out to be a trefa, after you slaughtered it, they open up the animal and they check to see if there's a punctured lung, if the kidney is damaged. Asur lishchot bo. You cannot use this knife any longer. Ad shiyadichenu bitzonan. Oh, you can't chenu b'dava kasha. All you have to do is wash off the knife, because Cairo is being consistent. What happens as a result of the heat in the trachesophagus? Nothing. It's not hot. So does the knife ever absorb the time of trefa animal? No. So what are you worried about? Surface meat on the knife. Surface trefa. So how do you get rid of surface trefa? You wash it off, or you wipe it with what? With a rag. With a shmata. B'dava kasha. V'nohagin ata l'kancho yafe b'seyar habehema. You know what they use? The hair of the animal is a good way to wipe it off. Okay, nice.
What's the word yakin?
Yikanchenu means to wipe. Lekaneya. No. Okay, that's going to be a different opinion. That you will see that there are sometimes, in order to kasher the knife, when it has fat on it that is prohibited, just washing it off is never going to get the fat off. So that's why they write, stick it into the ground 10 times. So, what? Sometimes they did, most of the times they didn't. No, it's just talking about what, rinse it off. Of course. So soap is an abrasion. It gets things off, no doubt. But they didn't know about that. Or they knew about it, it wasn't readily used, and so on and so forth. So Caro is consistent that the trachea is not hot enough to generate absorption of taste. Not hot enough. Okay, there's a machlokes in the Gemara. That's how Caro ruled it for us. V'noagin ata, and now our practice is lekancho yafe b'seira behema ben kol shchita v'shaper dami. That the practice is today, whether it was a trefa animal, not every time you shecht an animal, you take that knife, rub it over the hair of the animal, and then you can shecht with it again.
That's the premise, but it's not blushing required.
It's not absolutely required. Yes. Then he writes at the very end, the last two lines, "Vim ragil lishchot bo trefot tadir." If you use this knife for always shechting trefa animals, so there is a lot of animal and fat on this knife. So then, what do you have to do? Tzarich ne'itza. Eser pa'amim b'karka v'karka. This is your grandmother's thing. It only applies in a limited number of cases. So if you have a knife that constantly is being used for a tray for animals, so you want to use that knife again for a kosher animal, stick it in the ground 10 times, and then you can use it again. To shecht a kosher animal. You use this to shecht tray for animals regularly.
Okay, why would you ever be doing trade then?
You wouldn't know that it's
trade. Because I know it's trade. I'm selling it to Goyim.
Purposely.
I did it purposely. I know it's a trade animal, and I'm selling it in the business. It's in the non-kosher division. But I want to use the knife now for my kosher division. It's just on it, but since you used it many times, just a pouring water is not enough. Just a rag is not enough. It needs a lot of abrasion, a really rough surface, so it should be not mud and dried out fields.
Then wash it.
Doesn't say you have to wash it off. Doesn't say. All right, we'll stop here. Next week, we'll have a shiur on Chanukah, because it is Chanukah next Wednesday night. One Chanukah shiur.
Salad stands. Can I use
that on Shabbos?
Of course not. Did you say of course?
No. Because, it's the Kli HaMiyuchad Lekach. It's designed to get rid of the water. Should not be used in a
shop. Okay, so how do you do
that? Like everybody else. Before there was ever such a thing as a salad spinner.
Okay, I'm thinking it's better than squeezing it in a towel. How do you dry the lettuce?
Put a towel.
And that's not considered the issue of the squeezing it out?
No, because it's not enough. There's no schita by food. The schita would be in the towel after you did it.
So you then can take the towel out to pat it as dry as I want.
That is not a problem whatsoever.
Okay, thank
you. No problem. You too.
Thank you.
Is there, I know it's in a non-religious Jew, there are different sort of, but is there
no real issue.
So it would just, and not technically, I didn't mean about the spirit of, you know, if there was a reason to do it, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like technically, But you're not saying
there's no issue. There's no. I'm not a big fan of having Gentiles at a Shabbos table. That's the only reason.
Okay, fine. If that's the only reason.
That's the only reason.
I'm really looking. Okay.
That's fine.
I don't disagree, but it's a specific reason.
Okay.
Which could, you know what I'm saying?
No problem. Mother, my brother, my sister.
And so,
was
it great with Trump?
Yes.
First, I got a little bit upset
about it.
It's insane, right?
Of course.
And everyone knows they have to watch it. The whole idea is that everyone's going to
have one. I hope so. Good night.